California. Ethnic cleansing. Who came up with that? I mean, a few hundred years from now or a thousand years from now, we're still around, right? We still have the earth, if it's inhabitable. Maybe in the books, I mean, that phrase gets repeated. Like, I wonder what the creator, if you believe in a creator, I do, I call the creator God. Like cleansing. It sounds like, oh, they cleaned it up. Everything's, you know, got cleaned up. Spotless. Cleaned up. About slaughter. Slaughter's more ethnic slaughter. Slaughter's a pretty, people know what that is when there's a slaughter, you know. So one of my favorite, I may have talked about this before, I think currently my favorite word is petty. And everybody knows, I think, what petty is. And if you don't, maybe I'll look it up. Look it up. Petty. Got my device right here. Webster's petty. Look up some words. Let's look up some words. Why not? Oh, I know. Okay, the CD's working. All right. Interesting. Having secondary rank or importance, minor, subordinate. Having little or no importance or significance. Yeah, so I guess there's, when humans are being petty about something, these aren't the first, those aren't the things that come to mind. It's like, petty's like, you know, I don't know. You got $50 in your pocket and, you know, your friend is buying a pie, pizza pie, and, you know, you throw in, you know, that's your $50. Let's just say, like, that's your $50 budget for the night. You went out, you can spend 50 bucks. Your friend, or even if it's not a friend, right? Someone you know gathered at the table, and you throw in, I don't know, $1.25, when really your share of it, if you're eating that, is more than that, a couple dollars more than that, you know. But something else, like I've you know, in this process of like looking at myself and figuring out how I've been selfish the last year and a half or so, I really had to like take a look and be like, you know, is this the man that I want to be? Is this a man? I saw this great guy, so I hadn't seen him in a while, speak the other day, and he got a compliment from somebody that the relationship just became a using one-way relationship because they were very sick, and they got a compliment from the person that was on the receiving end from this all the time, and just showing support, hoping things change, right? And they did something just the right way to do it, you know. This is how. So no one else has to. You just boom. You just got a thing. You do it. It's done, and they got a compliment, and I understand that compliment, and I'm not very, I was having, talking about these phone calls I had today, it was really nice phone calls, and there's this guy that I'm friendly with, he's cool, in one of my communities, and he got really vulnerable and shared something, and I usually just kind of, I'm still a little socially awkward, and so And I've been sharing about that, which is nice. And I just, like, give him a nice gentle pat on the shoulder, you know. And I saw so much cuteness this weekend, so much good music. All tykes running around, lovers, like, you know. These two women in front of me at one point were, like, facing each other and, you know, connecting and pretty cool. So I've heard this a few times that, like, connection is the opposite of addiction, right? We get, I got super lonely. I was heartbroken and angry and hated myself. And when I could get what I enjoyed doing, this one thing in this one way, like some people like to go out and have, you know, 12 beers and blackout or whatever. I did that plenty of times when I got into other stuff, and be on, like, rooftops and, like, feeling good, this alternative chemical high. And now I'm learning to just be grateful and try to stay out of self-pity, pray, and think of others. I'm going to read, probably not all of it, but this writer that I like, I'm reading one of his novels, and just a cool, if you're someone like me, you get it, and it's good writing. Dennis Johnson did this really good, too. I knew this poet that was friends with him. Everybody wanted everything to be gleaming again, or maybe they just wanted their evening back. Everybody was from everywhere, had gathered here to hide from the daylight. Some of these people sat around a marble table with straws in their hands. It looked like they were waiting for lemonade. They were trying to get my friend Gary on the phone to get more lemonade. It was early, late, lockjaw hour. Is it like this in Geneva? I said to a man at the table. I was new here, recommended to the straw people by Gary. I felt like the pupil of a great instructor out alone in the dead city. Is it like what? He said. Is it like this? I'm from Scarsdale, he said. All I can tell you about is Zurich. About then, the woman with the telephone called out the terrible news. Gary's not anywhere, she said. There were more moans, whispers, ruminations on fate, hard words for God. People started to shuffle out of the room. A few fell on the coat pile in the corner. This is why I hate America, said the man from Scarsdale. This brand of bullshit. Where the hell is Gary? He told me he'd be over here, I said. That's exactly what I'm talking about, said the man. And here comes the fucking sun. The man bent his straw into a periscope and poked it out over the windowsill. The sun, he said, and you fiery whore. Maybe I can find Gary, I said. You flame-throwing bitch, he said. I think I know where Gary is, I said. The man from Scarsdale spun his periscope. That's a good story, he said. Work with that story. I walked around the ruined sectors of the city and worked with that story. It was really my story, and it went like this. Shaky, steady. I wasn't shaky right now. I tended to waste a lot of time looking for Gary. It's difficult to stay the course to steadiness when you've got to find Gary all the time. It's difficult to do anything at all. Sometimes, when I needed money, I stole my girlfriend Molly's stuff, but the quality goods were running low. To top it off, I was pretty certain I was suffering from that deficit thing, that disorder. Everything flickered a lot, and I never knew which story I was working with. Take the story of Gary's thumb. Many years ago, on the eve of manhood, Gary sawed it off with his father's Black & Decker table saw. Gave it to his mother on an olive dish, or maybe it was a cookie plate. You should have seen the look on my mother's face, said Gary, back from emergency. The truth was, you could still see it on her face. A few days later, there in the bar mitzvah room, that kind of look, it didn't disappear, even with all the disco-nalia going on, and Gary bouncing high in the chair. Gary's uncles, men with great bony mouths, slid Gary from his throne into my arms. I held him there, the bandaged hand between us, and under the din of Hebrew sins, I asked him why he did the sawing. They wouldn't let me watch TV, he said, the late movie. Now I watch all hours, anything I want. That's the story how Gary left his thumb and his youth behind, though they did saw the dead thumb back on. We had years as strangers before I saw him again, but somehow I'd always been following Gary. What he did to his his thumb made him, I believe, a wisdom giver. Me, I was never bar mitzvahed. According to the tenets of my faith, I'm nothing close to a man, though I have a hairy neck and look older. Walking around now, I thought all the times I used to walk around with Gary on the streets of the city. It's funny to see someone down here from your town. You think everyone will stay behind and do everything you did all over again forever. You picture old geezers in jean jackets doing whippets behind the plaza. But I got out and Gary got out. Everybody gets out. Getting out is not the problem. You can picture what the problem is. For instance, Gary tried to be a rock star and even trained his thumb to squeeze our guitar pick, but Rock was dead. Somebody should have mentioned something, he said. Next thing I see him loitering near trust fund bistros, looking smug and haunted. I'm in goods and services, he said. It's the only uncompromised medium left. Hey, you know what I want to do? I want to give a shout out to Micah Parsons. I think widely regarded as the best linebacker in football. And he doesn't play for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. And I feel like a big reason for that was that the coach, new coach, first-year coach, from what I see, there's no other way I interpret it, said through the media, he said, Mike has got to ramp up. And, like, soon, like, I think the next day he was gone. So, like, that's not football talk. That's business talk. And he had a Green Bay Packers hat. And the guy's 26 years old, best linebacker in football. You have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. And it's really hard for me, even though sports can be really, really heartening. I think back to, like, Carrie Strug, and, like, I loved watching a little bit of the Olympics that I watched in France, and it was these two women competing in the Seine, which is really cool. They cleaned up the river. People could swim in it. They had the swimming competition there. And they were just, like, so supportive after the race. These two women, I was really touched by it. And in one of the phone conversations I had today, these famous phone conversations today, connecting with people, just the person on the other end of the line was talking about, we were talking about work and like, just like, you know, when you're super into something and super in the moment and doing a good job, it's really fulfilling. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we also, I think the value of work is, San Francisco does a great job of hiring folks, I feel like. And you meet people at your work, and you come to defend them because you're doing, at least you're at the same place, you know, you're under the same umbrella or whatever. And, you know, things come up, and you maybe do a favor for someone or help someone out, or, like, overhear a conversation that they're having, and they're having a good time, or they're having a tough time, or they're not sure about the time they're having, and you connect in this, like, human way. And I like to see it. I was talking about where, it's funny, one of the people on the phone today said he likes it to be natural, and I stopped in there because I wanted to think about it. It's like, what's, it's going to be hard to say over the radio, like, I just stopped them, and I wanted to know, like, what wasn't natural, you know, and my experience has been recently, pretty beautiful, and I'm grateful for that, and it could be horrible later, and I could be, get really upset, but it'll be authentic, I think. And I got to tell one of the people I was talking to today, like, I go out, live in a city, right, and it's like, you see, one of the interesting things and neat things about being in a city is that you see the whole gamut. kind of humanity, I feel like. And, you know, see sad things and touching things and interesting things and weird things. And, yeah, I don't know. And I think I'm going to try to play something from a band I saw recently, and they said some really, really neat things about community. So I'm gonna tap into that. Hold on for some loud, fast music. Hold on. Yeah, Chase. I'm searching for stuff on my phone. How are you all doing today? Don't have vinyl or CDs. Searching for a band I saw. I've seen so much cool music lately. Someone posted some photos of a show I went to recently. I was rad.
please say fucking welcome. Yeah? Welcome. I feel like I need to say that when we started this band 5 years ago, bro, it was never with the expectation or even a fucking dream of this. We've been coming to America for 3 years now, living the best fucking moments of our lives on stages that are like a quarter the size of this. There's fucking 8,500 people in this fucking building. Now, to put that in perspective, I don't even know if there's 8,500 of us hardcore kids in the whole of Australia when this band started. Period. For us, when I think about the term Australian hardcore, I see the faces of my best friends in the entire world. I see the best and worst experiences of my whole life that I would never change for anything. I see us booking our own shows for our 50 friends in our city, playing cover songs, figuring out how to play our instruments in real time on stage, shuffling off the stage and watching to our best friends' parents. Fuck it, bro. Going to hardcore shows in Sydney, it's barely even about the bands. It's about hanging out after. The music has become a vehicle to some of the most powerful friendships I've ever fucking been grateful to experience. And I'm gonna say this. Some bands in some other genres, or some people in other spaces, they think that music is this out-of-reach, sparkly, dangling prize that they need to fucking dress up for, that they need to fucking obscure for, that they need to sell themselves out for. I'm gonna tell you this right now. Hardcore for us has given us the best fucking friendships I've ever fucking had. Speed is on this stage today, after 5 years of being a band. Because we've only ever invested in each other. Our best friends are here, our best friends are doing the sound, our best friends are TMing us, our best friends are selling the merch on days when they're not selling ourselves, yeah? So if you're new here, I hope you go out to your fucking local venue, you check out the scene around you. There are some of the best hardcore bands in the world that are coming from this part of the country, yeah? Check it out! Listen! Learn! If you like it, come back. With that being said, bro, hardcore is a participatory sport. Still in the same game, free
ball. My imagination is driving me wild. Cause the things that you're saying are cutting right through me. The way that you're swaying is gonna undo me. I'm so high.
style anything. That we've grown up differently. Don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone. Cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me and we just disagree. I'm going back to a place that's far away. How about you? Have you got a place to stay? Why should I care when I'm just trying to get along? We were friends, but now it's the end of our love song. So let's leave it alone. Cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me and we just disagree.
Yeah. From Bughouse Square, stay tuned for This on the Hour. Just kind of filling in for Pete from Happy Horseshit. I didn't see him around today, and I hope I'm not walking all over his stuff, but I'm just playing a record here, and, you know, just kind of getting a feel for the spot. So stick around.
For all you mystic travelers.
Nelson Mandela.
Stay tuned for Bug Off Square coming up on the hour. That's right.